Chapter 23 Demon.
"Hello, Jen," Fenner exclaimed brightly as she opened the door. "Are you ready to accompany the two most ravishing ladies in Rugoth?"
For the first time in hours, the Shalane grinned, though briefly. Fenner's attempts to get Jen to notice her always cheered her up, although she couldn't fathom why they should. Jen bowed at the waist. He was handsomely dressed in a formal coat made for the occasion, all black save for silver trimming and a silver pin on his collar in the shape of a sword covering the eclipsed moon of Triss.
"Shalane? Lady Fairdale? I'm ready to serve."
As always, Jen's face and tone were unreadable, but after the incident in the library, Fenner tried to act as happy as she could with Jen's niggardly approach to non-verbal information.
"I do, however, have some concerns," Jen continued, as the Shalane led them toward the maze.
"And what might those be, Jen?"
the Shalane asked, voice distant.
"First," Jen outlined, "I do not like this business of you riding on the horse."
"That makes two of us," the Shalane thought.
Jen continued,
"You are the only ones that will be a horse in this procession, putting you higher than those who defend you and trapping us in the middle of the mob. Secondly, riding exposed at night in the middle of a well-lit courtyard is doubly worse, since you will be easy to see and any archers some distance away will be practically invisible to us."
The Shalane didn't look at him, eyes forward as they negotiated the maze.
"Jen, if you can somehow undo decades of planning in the next few minutes, then do so with my blessing."
She regretted her tone, but had no other to offer.
"Very well," Jen accepted flatly. "I will be walking at your left side. At the first hint of trouble, I will push the Haulrik off the horse and ride you away from the crowd and to safety."
Fenner laughed, though Jen's tone was absolutely serious. The Shalane pictured Jen dumping Shatan unceremoniously onto the ground and galloping off with her, and had to admit it made her feel better, whether he meant it to or not. As they exited the maze into the antechamber, the rest of the Dark Guard, Captain Tolbrook proudly in command, filled in around her in a protective circle. Jaren and her mother were there as well. Jaren took his place with Jen in the Shalane's inner circle, while her mother and Fenner were forced to walk behind. Cadean walked behind them. After entering the castle proper, her protective ranks were again swelled by the apprentices to the Dark Guard, Kimdan proudly ordering them into formation with a wink to Fenner. Such a large entourage was difficult to manage in some of the narrower halls, but soon the smaller passageways gave way to the wide, sweeping halls that went around the great hall and ended in the ornate double doors that opened into the courtyard. The halls were filled with servants preparing food for the betrothal feast afterward, though they scrambled out of the way at the sight of so many imposing warriors. Last to join them was Ethris, who stood, staff in hand, at the doors with the chamberlain. He was, as on the day of the trials, dressed in clothing white enough to rival that of the Shalane. She waited as the guard fell off to the side, forming a path to the door, all save Jen, who remained as he ever was, just behind and to the right of her. The chamberlain tapped his staff on the floor loudly three times.
"Open the door for the Shalane, the most holy, the Mother of God!"
The doors swung inward, slowly and silently. A chill gust of wind blew brightly coloured leaves about the floor, ruffling her veil and giving her goosebumps despite her cloak. A great cheer went up, and the Shalane walked forward stiffly, Jen following close behind. Before her was the great corridor of light spanning the long courtyard all the way to the chapel on the other side. In the distance, visible on the steps to the chapel, was Shatan astride a tall black horse. He too was dressed in white, and at the opening of the doors he rode forward, slowly, a protective ring of his own guard forming about him. Chants of "Save us!" and "Bless me!" rose in swells from the crowd, and Shatan waved and smiled, soaking up the adoration. The Shalane felt her stomach wrench as he approached, taking his time as if to make her wait. But all too soon he was there before her, smiling grandly. He dismounted and bowed as deeply as his gut would comfortably permit, extending a white-gloved hand.
"Come, Shalane," he invited enthusiastically. "The people and our betrothal await. I'm afraid your zealous guard will have to let me touch you just a little, lest I be accused of letting you fall from the horse. It is rather spirited.
The Shalane took the proffered hand, and Shatan helped her to sit side-saddle. Jen approached, and Shatan's guards stiffened. No one took Jen lightly any more. At last the Blessed One mounted, placing his arm around the Shalane's waist. To everyone's surprise, he galloped away, leaving all protection and ceremony behind, thundering across the courtyard to raucous applause from the crowd and a number of oaths from the dark guard. Shatan rode back and forth, circling around to wave to the crowd before galloping forward again. From her unsteady perch, all the guards trying to catch up, Jen sprinting to lead the charge. But before they could get close, Shatan would spur just ahead again. By the time he reined in the horse at the steps of the chapel, the Shalane felt ill-used and didn't wait to be helped down. The pontiff was there along with several pure men, and they bowed deeply as Shatan dismounted and handed the reins to an acolyte.
"I hope you enjoyed the ride, my lady," Shatan joked sarcastically.
"I don't think I've seen a horse handled more poorly, if I must be honest. And I suppose I should in the presence of so many holy men. The ride's only virtue was its brevity."
"As I hope this ceremony is," Shatan whispered, coming close. "The night is young, and too full of promise to spend in an old church."
The Shalane remained silent as everyone waited for the rest of the assembly. Jen arrived first, expressionless, though staring at the Blessed One so intently that the latter turned away and pretended to oversee the care of the horse. It took several minutes for the entire entourage to gather on the steps and regain their composure. Not many were allowed into the ceremony. The Dark Guard and Shatan's soldiers were placed around the entrances and exits, bolstered by Rugarth's own soldiers. Jen was permitted to enter with the Shalane, as Dacen was for Shatan. The Shalane invited Fenna to come with her, and a modestly sized group of nobles and churchmen from all three of the human kingdoms had entered previously. The most notable absence, the Shalane knew, was Shatan's father. She had learned that Torbrand had never really been close to his son. Even if he were, he was terribly busy trying to battle his way through the heart of Tolnor before another winter hit. The pontiff signalled everyone to enter the narthex. The heavy oaken doors to the chapel were shut behind them, and pure men led guests through side hallways and entrances to be seated. The Shalane and Shatan, each with their protector, were told to stay with the pontiff for the procession. Fenna squeezed the Shalane's arm as she left, whispering,
"Good luck. I'll be waiting for you up front."
The Shalane watched over her shoulder as the pure men chanted, warding the doors against evil and assault. Jen stared into the back of Shatan's head as if trying to determine the best way to whack it off.
"It inspires and gratifies me to see you together," the pontiff said, grasping the Shalane and Shatan by the hand.
The pontiff was an old man, wrinkled, grey and gaunt, but he possessed a kind aspect. He would undertake the long, treacherous journey to the Hall of Three Moons with them in the spring for the marriage, though the Shalane didn't know how one as old as he would survive it. The expeditions sent to find the hall in the abandoned city of Eldaluri Mora had all taken casualties and suffered much privation. She wasn't even sure if she could withstand the trip.
"I thank you, Holy Father," the Shalane said, curtsying. "It is an honour to see you again after all these years."
Shatan inclined his head briefly, but said nothing. The pontiff straightened, leaning on his staff.
"I shall lead you both forward. After my sermon, I will ask both of you to come before the altar, and I will recite the oath of betrothal. I'm sure you know it well. Remember that the only answer you need give is, 'Under Eldaloth's watchful eye, I swear,' and everything will be well. And most of all, be at ease. You are in a house of God, doing God's work."
The Shalane imagined he gave much the same speech to every nervous couple he betrothed. She wondered if he'd had any report of the difficulty between her and Shatan, or if he cared. The pontiff turned, rapping on the dark wooden doors with his staff. At once they swung open and all talk inside died down. The chapel was one of the first structures built after the people who fled westward from Lalmanar settled Mikmir. Unlike the fine white marble interiors of other buildings inside the castle walls, the chapel was made of rough, dark grey stones and heavy pillars hewn from quarries in the Cathedral Mountains to the north. The roof arched high, supported by heavy wooden rafters, from which hung three sets of chandeliers. More light was provided by lanterns that hung from the walls and pillars, casting a bright yellow glow about the room. Everyone rose as the pontiff led the couple and their guards down the center aisle that split thin rows of oaken pews. Flower petals, preserved fresh against the season, were strewn thickly about the floor, and as the Shalane walked, she could smell their fragrance rise as their footsteps crushed them. Everyone watched reverentially, heads bowed. The aisle terminated at the foot of a raised dais. From the dais rose a stone altar, now covered with a finely embroidered cloth made of red silk. The pontiff signalled that the Shalane and Shaitan should sit together, the Shalane to the right of her fiancé. The First Mother sat to the Shalane's right and Fenna after. Jen stood at attention at the end of the row, Dacen on the opposite side. The Shalane gripped her mother's hand and leaned on her as the pontiff struggled up the short stairs to the dais with the help of an acolyte. Once he managed to get to the altar, he signalled for all to be seated.
"My brothers and sisters in Eldaloth," the pontiff began, his powerful voice belying his age. "I welcome you to this most blessed event. I welcome nobles from all three kingdoms here this night, a sight not often seen in Kihol. I would ask that you put aside grudges and hatreds tonight, especially between countries that are warring, that we might be unrestrained in feeling of Eldaloth's presence."
The Shalane's mind wandered as the pontiff delivered a long discourse outlining the history and prophecy that she had known and recited since she could speak. Her mother also seemed lost in thought, and after one look at Fenna, the Shalane doubted her handmaiden's mind dwelt much on the holy. Instead, she seemed preoccupied with finding ways to provoke a glance from Jen. Jen's studied disinterest could not be broken, and Fenna whispered that wooing Jen was like trying to woo a rock. While the Shalane figured she should be irritated by Fenna's obsession and non-stop conversation about the young man, she instead found them a rather pleasant diversion from her own concerns, and whispered in return a promise to help Fenna find devious ways to spark Jen's attention. Unfortunately, the Shalane had even less experience than Fenna in such matters and doubted she would tender much useful assistance. At the very least, the attempts would prove amusing, and getting Jen to show some shred of emotion, even if utter disgust instead of swooning love, would be a victory.
"All rise," the pontiff commanded, and the Shalane shook herself out of her musings and decided she should pay better attention.
Shaitan also rose slowly, and he took time to tuck his shirt back into his pants, while the pontiff began the familiar ritual of praise.
"It is by faith, my dear children," the pontiff said, "that we have arrived at this point in history, where the great events preceding the return of our god, Eldaloth, are before us. Chant with me now our praise. Praise be to Eldaloth, God of all, creator of all, protector of all, father of all. Praise be to the Ulric of Eldaloth, Ilks Bane, gatherer of the nations, father of the return. Praise be to the Shalane of Eldaloth, healer of mind, body, and soul, divine beauty incarnate, mother of God."
The congregation chanted with the pontiff. The Shalane always felt strange when praising herself, and over time it became harder to envision herself as the woman in the prophecies. That woman was holy and powerful, while the Shalane felt increasingly like a stranger to choice and dignity. The pontiff waved them down.
"You may be seated. It is an honour for all of us to be here in the presence of the instruments of Eldaloth for the working of his will. It was by the treachery of Mikik that our god was taken from us. It was through Eldaloth's will that Triss was darkened, that we might be protected from the power of the Evil One. And it was through his mysterious means that these two were born to bring forth a tabernacle worthy for his return. May we never be weary in our watch against evil, against the machinations of the Ilk. All rise!"
Once again the congregation rose and repeated the chant, and again they were seated as the pontiff continued.
"We must remember that Eldaloth's murder, and the murder of the gods that served him, came about through the wickedness of one who should have been faithful and grateful to his master and was not. We must also obey all the commands of Eldaloth, lest we too become servants of evil and partake of the bitter pains of the underworld."
The Shalane couldn't tell for sure, but it seemed as if the pontiff stared directly at Shatan, who studied the floor with his head in his hands.
"But God's purposes cannot be frustrated, for there are always those willing to serve him at great cost, and through great faith they put down the forces of darkness. All rise."
A third time the congregation rose and chanted. But as Mother of God sounded to end the chant, a deep rumble shook the building, and the air turned instantly and bitterly chill. Exclamations of fear came from those who could find a voice. The Shalane found Jen at her side immediately, pulling her off the bench and toward a doorway to their right, as the building continued to shudder and heave. Her mother, Fenner, Shertan, and many others followed close behind them as the shaking sent showers of stones and debris raining down from the roof. Before she could think to be afraid, Jen pushed her to the ground and under a pew. Fenner came soon after, also helped by Jen, and the Shalane clung to her as stones shattered around them and slammed into the bench above their heads. Screams of pain mingled with the cacophony as the deep rumble continued, the air filling with dust and the floor with debris. Abruptly the rumbling stopped, though the cold remained. A thin mist gathered on the floor, mixing with the cloud of dust. The Shalane pushed Fenner out and scrambled from underneath the bench. She found that the combination of her veil and the dust and darkness practically blinded her. All three of the chandeliers had fallen, and all but two of the lanterns lay smashed and smouldering. She floundered, feeling unbalanced, and tried to find something to steady herself with. Jen grabbed her with one arm, and she took Fenner by the hand. Cries and howls of pain echoed unnaturally in the murky gloom.
"Is my mother alive? Where is she? I am here, my daughter. I am well, as is the Blessed One. We must get out. This doorway has collapsed. I cannot see the others clearly." "I must stay and help the wounded, mother,"
the Shalane protested.
"You will not," Jen stated. "There is something wrong here. We must leave immediately."
"Jen is right, my child," her mother agreed.
"You must go."
Jen guided the Shalane back toward the center aisle, trying to help her over the wreckage and the bodies on the floor. As they neared the altar, the Shalane heard Ethris chanting. A globe of blinding light appeared in the center of the rafters, illuminating the scene below and dispelling the shadows. Chunks of the stone and woodwork that made up the ceiling had fallen to the floor with enough force to shatter some of the heavy oaken pews. Peculiarly, however, the bright light revealed that all exits to the chapel had collapsed, trapping the congregation inside. Those who were able frantically lifted stone and wood to extricate the wounded from the rubble, while others worked at removing stones from the doorways.
"Something is not right. Something is coming," Jen muttered, mostly to himself, his head darting about searching for some enemy or some explanation.
Her defender's left arm was broken and bleeding, hanging lifelessly at his side. Fenner noticed the same.
"Jen, you're hurt," she exclaimed.
Jen raised a finger on his good hand to silence her, uncaring of the injury he'd sustained. The Shalane moved forward to heal him, but he gently pushed her back, his concentration fixed upon the floor. He had come to some realization.
"Save your strength, Shalane. Get to the dais. Heal the pontiff if he lives, and do it quickly. It is the only way we will survive."
In the blink of an eye, Jen's sword was in his good hand.
"May Eldaloth help us,"
he said, breaking from his usual flat tone, which frightened her. Anything that Jen feared must be dreadful indeed. The Shalane turned toward the raised dais where the altar was and where the pontiff had stood. A pile of rubble was there now, a frantic Ethris digging through it.
"What is it, Jen?"
she asked.
"Go,"
Jen commanded. His urgency propelled her forward, Fenner and her mother helping. As she neared the dais, a painful buzzing sound filled her ears, and a strange circular pattern appearing from etched grooves in the tiles of the chapel sprang to life, glowing with the colour of flame. An otherworldly dread gripped her heart, and she stopped, paralysed by fear and unable to move. Everyone in the room froze. Everyone except Ethris and Jen.
"You must go!"
"It is our only chance," Jen ordered again, turning and forcing her eyes to meet his. His powerful voice cut through the buzzing, and she felt herself freed, though still numb and trembling. Fenner, her mother, and the Blessed One remained rooted where they stood, transfixed upon the swirling pattern. The Shalane tore her eyes away from it, and after mounting the dais, she knelt on the floor next to Aethrys, grabbing and pulling at rock and wood with all the speed she could manage.
"We must be quick, child," Aethrys said, labouring. "The Pontiff is our only escape."
"I know," the Shalane replied. "Jen told me."
Aethrys's eyes met hers briefly, face dirty and grave.
"Did he now?"
As they dug, the buzzing grew louder and then died, replaced by a wail so full of hate that the Shalane fell to the ground and wrapped herself into a ball.
"Be stronger," Aethrys said forcefully. "Stay with me. Fight it."
Gritting her teeth, the Shalane fought back her fear, and she rose to her knees and surveyed the room. Only Jen remained standing, sword at the ready. Everyone else had fallen to the floor, some unconscious, others writhing in terror. In the center of the room, the swirling pattern faded, replaced by a circular hole into an abyss so black that it sucked in all the light coming from Aethrys's globe. With renewed energy, the Shalane set to the task of uncovering the Pontiff, hoping that something of life remained in him to be healed. Abruptly, all noise stopped and the chill left, but the sense of dread doubled. The Shalane turned again, feeling compelled against her will to acknowledge the presence of what had arrived. In the middle of the chapel, it stood as black as the hole it had come from. Dull, metallic bands reflected what illumination was left from Aethrys's light. The demon loomed a full 12 feet tall, a mass of spikes and blades covering its body, arms, and legs. A rank, oily substance dripped from it and onto the floor, and within the depths of the oversized helmet was darkness. It seemed dead and unmoving, while emanating a silent but palpable command to fear and fall. Jen stood directly in front of it, surrounded by rubble and crushed bodies, dwarfed and alone. His broken arm bled at his side, and as she watched, he turned toward her. For the first time since she had known him, she understood the expression on his face, even in the poor light. He knew he was going to die. He had turned to her to remember the reason why. The Shalane held his gaze for the brief moment he offered it, and as he turned away, two ember-orange eyes sparked to flame within the monster, an evil force aborning inside the steel encasement. Metal scales whined as it straightened itself, and an oily black smoke from some internal fire issued from the joints of its armour, half obscuring it in a dark fog.
"Help me, child! I have found him!" Aethrys yelled urgently.
With effort, the Shalane turned away from Jen and the demon to see that Aethrys had uncovered one arm. She began pulling debris from where she surmised the Pontiff's face would be.
"Aethrys, Hurmai Iot Shant Daio."
The voice was otherworldly, deep and full of wrath. The language, while unknown to the Shalane, felt ancient.
"Umiel! Umiel Olien Shurel Dalule Yeho!"
The voice was Jen's, confident and forceful. The language he spoke was different from his enemies, fair though foreign. Aethrys perked up at Jen's words.
"That boy has a lot of explaining to do," he grumbled as at last the Pontiff's bruised and bleeding face was revealed in the weak light. "Quickly, does he live, Shalane?"
The Shalane placed her hand on the wrinkled forehead.
"Torkabil exur madailk, ilk madaf ingurineako, chak digat, chak ilk murmitcho."
The creature said this, and Aethrys was so shocked by what he heard that he turned toward the demon. The Shalane followed his gaze. Jen waited, feet planted, as the creature took its first step forward toward him. The heavy footfall sent a shiver through the building. More rock tumbled from the ceiling as Jen sprang forward, hacking uselessly at the demon, which did nothing to defend itself. Jen's sword skipped off the oil-slick spikes and plating, and as he tried to thrust it into a gap in the armor, the sword altogether shattered.
"Hurry, child! Jen knows he cannot win," Aethrys urged, though distracted. "It cannot be,"
the last was said to no one in particular, and with a note of amazement. The Shalane laid her hand upon the Pontiff's head, and tried to shut out the rest of the world, which proved difficult.
With concentrated effort, what was happening on the outside gradually faded away, and she searched for what remained of life in the man before her.
"He lives!" she exclaimed, coming out of her trance. "But barely!"
Ethrys, however, was no longer listening or near the pontiff. He had moved to the foot of the altar rubble, chanting desperately. Thunderous footsteps boomed ever closer. Jen lay face down on a pile of rubble, bleeding profusely, arms and legs broken and bent at wild angles.
"Jen!"
the Shalane screamed. By Ethrys's art, a translucent globe of hardened air surrounded her, Ethrys, and the fallen pontiff. The dust inside the packed air swirled, outlining the barrier's shape in the light. Ethrys turned his head to her.
"Work quickly, Shalane! This ward will only hold it for a few moments!"
His voice was barely controlled. Sweat ran in rivulets through the dirt on his face. The Shalane again laid her hands upon the pontiff, letting the booming footsteps, the howls of rage, and the impact of the creature's fury on the protective globe fade away. The pontiff's life ebbed low, and she knew that healing him would exhaust her strength, leaving her nothing with which she might heal Jen or, at the very least, keep him from death. And she hesitated. Some part of her still felt she owed a debt to her young protector, and she couldn't bear the thought of Fenner's pain at his loss. In her mind's eye, she tried to remember his condition, tried to determine if he would live without her healing or if he were dead already. Indecision gripped her, but in her mind she pictured Jen as he was the night when he had defeated Cormith, a gash bleeding across his chest. He'd risked his life for her honour. He would do it now for her life. Doubt fled. The Shalane reached deep within herself and poured her life energy into the pontiff until there was nothing left to give. Dizziness overtook her, and she fell hard against a pile of stone and wood. She came to herself moments later, weak, drained of energy and unable to move. Before her the creature raged, a giant spiked fist slamming down over and over as Ethrys chanted and exerted his power to maintain the warding globe. The pontiff, dazed and surprised at what he saw before him, extricated himself from the rubble and stood just as the monster broke the shield. Ethrys leapt forward as the pontiff frantically started his ritual, and the magician paid for his attempt at distraction with a puncturing hit to the midsection that sent him across the room and into a wall. He fell and did not move. The creature stood so close now that the Shalane could smell it, foul and sulphurous. It fixed its gaze upon her and started to step forward when a swirling pattern formed under its feet.
"Bosh! Humic Bosh!"
Its angry yells shook the walls, and as the pontiff continued to chant, the chill returned to the air and the black hole opened. The pontiff was gesturing quickly now, eyes closed and arms extended. The demon strove to escape the swirling hole beneath it, pushing forward with its might. The pontiff chanted louder, arms shaking. His eyes flew open.
"You are finished!"
The hole swallowed the abomination, which disappeared with a ground-shaking rumble. The hole closed, and the pontiff fell to his knees. All at once, cries and exclamations filled the chapel as the creature's hold upon its victims ended.
"Are you all right, child?"
the pontiff asked as he crawled to her side. The Shalane could hardly think, mind in a chaos born from terror and sadness.
"Help, Jen!" she cried. "Help him!"
"Your protector? Where is he?"
The Shalane could barely manage to move her arm to point where his body lay. Fenner there already, distraught and crying for help. The pontiff struggled to his feet and left, as Mirel, Regent Ogbith, and Cadean hurried to her side and knelt around her. Shatan stood behind them, face pale and pants soiled with urine and dirt. Questions came at her from all sides, and her vision blurred. She clutched her mother, and everything went black. This is the end of Book One, but the story continues with Duty, Book Two of the Trismoon Saga. Keep listening after the credits for a free preview. You have been listening to Ascension, Book One of the Trismoon Saga, produced by Greg Lawrence. Executive producers James Tonn and Greg Lawrence. Text copyright 2014 by Brian K. Fuller. Production copyright 2015 by Podium Publishing. All rights reserved.